We're here on Daf Ayin Tes Amid Beis, and we did the Mishnah yesterday. We'll just quickly summarize the Mishnah, and then we could start the Gemara. The Mishnah tells us that in terms of Shituf Muvos, one person can be Zocha on behalf of all the Bnei Amovli. So let's say he has a barrel of wine, and he picks it up, and he says, this is now acquired or transferred to the Bnei HaChotzer. I'm sorry, the Bnei HaMov. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Chavis Shel Shitufe Muvos. So he's got this barrel, and he wants to bequeath it or transfer ownership over it to all the Bnei HaMovui. Is tzorech lahagbia min hakarka tefach. The minimum amount of lifting of hagbah has to be one tefach from the place where the barrel is located. If, for example, it's in Reuven's backyard or on his table, then unless he lifts it up, Rav Yehuda insists, he hasn't been Zocha on behalf of the other Bnei Amov. And now the Gemara is going to argue against him. Amar Rava, Hani Tarte Mili. We have two halachas that we received by transmission from Savi de Pumpedisa, from the great scholars of the city of Pumpedisa. Chada ha, this halach that we mentioned earlier in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that you have to lift up the chavis at least one tefach. Idach, and a second halacha, tanamakadesh, if a person makes kiddush on Shabbos or on Yontif, im time melugmav yotza v'im lav lo yotza. He has to fill up his cheeks with that amount of wine. If he hasn't done so, then he has not fulfilled his mitzvah of kiddush. Now, kiddush is a mitzvah ala kos, and it's not just enough to recite the kiddush on a kos and just pronounce the words, but you also have to drink from the kos. And so what's the minimum amount, the shear, that's required to drink from the kos? That's called mole lugmav. Now, in a note here, he mentions that it's not necessary for every single person who's listening to the Mekadesh to drink his own mole lugmav. One person has to drink from the kos, and in order for the kos to be considered that as if it was drunk, we need that it be mole lugmav. And one person can drink the mole lugmav on behalf of everyone else. The Meiri says that even if a katan, a minor, like he's less than bar mitzvah, he can still drink from the kos mole lugmav, and everyone else is yotzei yedei chovasim. But he brings a second opinion that says, no, it's not sufficient that a katan would drink from the mole lugmav. We need someone who's obligated in the mitzvah, because through that drinking, he's being motzi everyone else. Now, the Magen Avraham adds that l'chatchila everyone should be drinking a certain mole lugma from the wine. So there is a minhag to give out the wine to everyone at the table. That's based on this Magen Avraham. Now Tosfos in Masechta Pesachim says that this shear is relative to each person. So you have a larger person who's a giant like Og Melech HaBashan, he has a larger mole lugmav. And if he drinks less than his mole lugmav, he's not yotzei. But for someone else, the Meiri, on the other hand, disagrees. He holds that everyone has the same identical shear of mole lugmav, which is approximately a revius of yayin. And therefore, an adam gadol shem mole lugmav shelo hu yoser mi revius eino tzarech lishtos yoser mi revius. So mole lugmav is more or less equal to a revius, which I think is 4.2 maybe 4.2 ounces. I mean, again, there are different shitas in exactly how much is the revius. And what does it mean, mole lugmov? Does mole lugmov need, require that both his cheeks be absolutely full with wine? So the answer is no. That's this Tosfos on the bottom of the Omer Dibrei Maschil Im. He points out, based on a Gemara in Masechta Yoma with regard to Yom Kippur, that mole lugmov means that if he were to roll the wine, in this case, over to one side and one cheek, that would fill up that one side of the cheek. And that's considered as if his entire mouth is filled. In any event, these are the two halachas that Rava transmitted in the name of Savi de Pumpadisa. Omar Rav Chaviva. Rav Chaviva wants to add another halacha that we learned and was transmitted to us. Hanami Savi de Pumpadisa Amrua, from these elders of Pumpadisa. Now, the elders of Pumpadisa usually are identified as Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar of Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, he said in the name of Shmuel, Osim Medura L'chaya B'Shabbos, you're allowed to make a large a bonfire for a Yoledes on Shabbos. Obviously, we're violating a Melech Doraisa of Melech HaSavara, but for the sake of a Yoledes, who's, let's say, in the process of giving birth, or perhaps she just recently gave birth, she needs that extra heat, that extra warmth, because her life is in danger. Sovramine, so some wanted to derive the conclusion based on this statement, that L'chaya in L'chola lo, that only in the case of a chaya, a woman in the process or after childbirth, is matir lighting up this bonfire on Shabbos, but chola, a regular sick person, he's not going to be so impacted by the cold air, and it's not as dangerous to his life as it is to that of a yoledis, and therefore we're not going to allow lighting a fire for the sake of a chola on Shabbos. And furthermore, the Gemara thought that even as far as the yoledis is concerned, she gets cold in the winter months, bimos hakshamim in, and therefore we're allowed to make this bonfire, but bimos hakhamah lo, we're not allowed to violate the Shabbos and make this bonfire, because during the hot summer months, we don't have to worry about the fact that she'll cool off to such an extent that she may endanger her life. And the Gemara rejects this. And the Gemara says, Itmar, no, we learned Omar Rav Chia, Omar Rav Avraham, Omar Rav Shmuel. Now, a classic case of a person whose life could be in danger is a person who has just undergone a surgical operation which is called Hakazas Dam. In those days, to relieve high blood pressure, they used to actually remove blood from the body. And if such a person, Hikizdam Nitztanein, he gets cold, then it's very dangerous. His body is weak, his immune system is down because he just experienced Hakazas Dam. And therefore, osim lo medura b'Shabbos. So we see that even for someone who was make his dam, which was more or less common practice in those days, we still allow, if we're afraid of cold, to make this madura. And therefore, how much more so in the case of a chola? So we see we're not dealing specifically with the oledes. V'afilu b'tkufas tamuz. And the halacha of Rav Chia, in the name of Shmuel, was even during the summer months. So at the end of the day, we're going to allow violating the Shabbos by making a fire, a high fire to warm up somebody. It doesn't matter whether he was someone who a woman who just gave birth, or a chole because they had hakazas dam, whatever it might be. And even during the summer months, we'll still violate the Shabbos in order to warm them up. All this we received this from the Sabe de Pumpadisa. Omar Amemar, ha nami sabi tubisam. I have another halacha. And the law is that if a tree was designated for idol worship, and the idolaters worship that tree, then it's considered an asherah, and Asher is also, but no, you're not allowed to have any benefit. How do you identify which tree, you know, they didn't put a red X on it? Itmar, Asher Stam, when do we have a chazaka that this tree was worshipped as a vodazor, and therefore it has the status of Asherah? Omar Rav, Kol Shekomrim, Shomrim Osa. If you see that the priests of the idolatry are guarding this tree, it must be because that was the tree that was designated as a holy tree. It's a deity. And here we start Daf Peyom and Aleph. V'ein Tamim Miperos Seha. In such a case, you're not allowed to taste any of the fruits of that tree. Well, I'm sorry. My mistake. Or, alternatively, if the priests are so protective of this tree that they don't allow anyone to eat from the fruits of the tree, that indicates that they had designated the tree as an idol. Shmuel Amar, Kigon Di Amri, let's say those who serve, you know, in the temple of the idols, they say, Hani Tamri, these dates that grew on this particular tree is L'shikra Debei Nitzarfe. We are going to use them to make beer. They used to make beer out of dates. And we're going to bring them to the temples. And those are called Nitzarfe. D'shasule Biyom Ejom. And we saw that this kind of date beer that was made from this tree, from the dates of this tree, was drunk on their holidays, on their ceremony, as part of their ceremonious rituals. And that itself indicates that they would only take the dates from a certain tree that was part of their idol worship, and they would extract, or let's say manufacture, a certain kind of a beer, a beverage from those dates, which they used on their holidays as part of their ritual services. And that indicates that that tree is an Asherah tree. And we paskin like Shmuel. So now let's get back to the main issue of how to create a sheet of muvos. And we saw in the name of Rabbi Yehuda that if a person wants to be mezaka the sheet of to others, and he has his wine in a barrel, for example, he has to lift up the barrel a minimum of a tefach. Meisve, the Gemara asks the kasha on Rabbi Yehuda from a brisa, ketzad mishtatvim b'mavui. How do we set up a sheet of mavos to be matir tiltul from the chatzeros into the mavui? Mevim chavish shel yayim v'shel shem v'shel tamar v'shel grogos v'shel shar mini peros. No, it's one of the bnei mavui will bring a barrel, and it has any of the above mentioned minim in it. The im mishalo, and assuming that it belongs to him, you know, it's his own private ownership property. Is tzorach lezakos, then he has to do a zechia on behalf of all the bnei amovu. In other words, he has to achieve an acquisition such that all the bnei amovu now are partners and they possess this barrel of fruits, etc., etc. The imi shalohen, but if the barrel itself belongs to the members of the mavu. And that means that all the members of the Mavui have partnership in a barrel, then all you need is Tzarech Lodia. You have to notify them that they should know that this Chavis, this barrel, is being used now as a Shita for a Mavui. And then, what happens to has to happen now? Once there's a Shita in this Chavis, Umagbiya Menakarka Mashu. All you have to do is lift this chavis, a mashu, the most minimal amount, from the karka. And this contradicts the statement of Shmuel, because Shmuel says that if you want to acquire a shituf on behalf of the bnei amovi, you need to lift it up a full tefach. So Gemara answers, my mashu, what does the word mashu mean? Nami dekomer tefach. A tefach, which is the smallest shear that we have, is considered a mashu. So somebody told me that there were two different shiurim of how large a tefach is. I think there was, if I'm not mistaken, it was 8 or maybe 8.1 centimeters, and then there was another sheet that was 8.7 centimeters. And now they found, you know, the archaeologists have discovered the jugs, and the jugs are called tafiach, which is Miloshen Tefach, because the opening of these small jugs was wide one tefach. And they measured it, and again, they did this scientifically with like hundreds, I don't know, I'm just exaggerating, I don't know, but many, many of these different jugs that they found dated back, thousands of years. And they measured it, and it was, I think, 8.6 or maybe 8.4 centimeters. I'll look it up if you're interested. But anyway, it was somewhere in the middle between the two shiurim, the two shittas that we have. Itmar, we learned that shitufei mavos, Rav Omer ein tzarech lezakos u'shmuel Omer tzarech lezakos. Now, Rav is an open contradiction to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says tzarech lezakos l'chol b'nei amovi. The Gemara is going to pick this up later. But Shmuel reflects what we learned in our Mishnah. And now we have another machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, be Erev Tchumen. Let's say if I set up an Erev Tchumen on your behalf, do I have to be mezaka you in the Muslim Shtei Sudos? Is Rav Omer tzarech lezakos? If you're lifting up this Erev, or I should say setting the Erev on behalf of Shimon, then you have to actually use a kinyan such that Shimon now acquires ownership in the Muslim Shtei Sudos. Otherwise, the Erev is not valid. Ushmul amenu tzarech lezakos. There's no need. Just let Reuven, who's doing it on behalf of Shimon, setting up this Erev Tchumen, let him just take his Mazon Shtei Sudos and put it down. And just make a declaration. I'm doing it on behalf of Shimon. Bishleim el Shmuel, according to the Sheet of Shmuel, is Hacha Tnan, in our mission of Sheet of Mavos, there's no mention of Erev Tchumen. V'kan, in the case of the Mishnah later on, Adaf Pei Beis, we didn't get to that Mishnah of the Mishnah of Erev Tchumen, how do you set up an Erev Tchumen? Lotanan, it doesn't say a word about being Mizaka, the Erev, on behalf of them. Here in our Mishnah, Mavos, it says you have to be Mizaka on their behalf. El Rav, my timer, how's Rav going to, you know, wiggle out of this pickle? He's in a real pickle, because only in our Mishnah of Shita Mavos is there mention of Tzarech Lezakos Libnei Amavui. But in the case of Erev Tchumen, which is a Mishnah later on, no mention whatsoever the fact that you have to be Mizaka for the Bala Erev. Anywhere it says Tanoihi. In other words, there is a Machlokas Tanoi. And that which it seems from the Mishnah later on, that with regard to Erev Tchumen, there's no need to be mezakeh l'acherim, meaning for the purpose for whom you may niach the Erev, is that itself is machlokas tanoim, diom Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, maisa bekaloso shel Rabbi Oshia, Rabbi Oshia's daughter-in-law, shaholcha lebeis hamerchatz v'choshchala. On Erev Shabbos, she went to the bathhouse, and that was outside the tchum of her city. And now the stars came out, and she got stuck in the Beis HaMerchatz outside the city. And what her mother-in-law did on her behalf, which would be the wife of Rav Oshia, is Erev Aloch Hamosa. She set up an Erev Tchumen on behalf of her daughter-in-law right before Shkia Sachama, so that her daughter-in-law would be able to come back to the city of Bar Maisel Lefnei Rabbi Chia. And this scenario and its halachic issues came in front of Rabbi Chia, V'Omar, and he said, V'Osar, and he didn't allow her to come into the city. In other words, he invalidated this Erev. V'Omalo Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi. Now, again, the assumption here is that he invalidated the Erev because the mother-in-law was not Zocha in the Muslim Shtei Sudos on behalf of her daughter-in-law. Omalo Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. So the Rabbi Shmuel turns to Rabbi Chi, he says, Bavloi. He called him a person who came from Bavel. And the truth is that Reb Chiya came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. He made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. And this whole story, this whole scenario took place in Eretz Yisrael. So Reb Yishmael turns to Reb Chiya and he calls him the Bavloi, you're the Babylonian. Is kol kachat omachme be'erven kachomer Abba. My father, whose name is Rabbi Yossi, made the following statement, kol sheyesh lecha lohakel be'erev hakel. Whenever you have room to find a leniency in Erevin, then you should exercise that right and be makil. And since we have a question as to whether Erev Tchumen requires that you be zoche on behalf of the person for whom you're miniach the Erev, why not be makil? Yiboilu. Now the Gemara has a doubt, a suffix about what exactly did Rav Chiya prohibit? In what were the details, the nuances of that scenario? Was it Mishal Chamosa Ervola Mishum Dolo Zichsala? Was it the way we understood it before? That in Erev Tchumen you need to be Mizaka, and she, the Chamosa, was not Mizaka on behalf of the Kala? Oh, Dilma, what should we say? Mishala Ervola? That it was the Kala's Mazon Shtei Suda, she was the owner of it. So that's not an issue. So what was the issue that Reb Chiya was concerned about? Mishum Dishalomidata. That the mother-in-law put down the Eruv without the approval of the person for whom the Eruv is Chal, meaning for the daughter-in-law. And we don't allow setting up an Erev Tchumen unless it is aldas, it is with the knowledge and the approval of the person for whom we are being made niyath the Erev, and maybe the daughter-in-law, the mother-in-law did not notify or did not get the approval from her daughter-in-law to set up this Erev. So we're not sure if the reason why Rabbi Chiya disqualified this Erev is either because the mother-in-law failed to be mizake the Mazon Shtei Sudos on behalf of the daughter-in-law, or because she never notified the daughter-in-law. That's the suffik of the Bnei Yeshiva. What was the reasoning behind Rav Chiya's Chumrah? The Omer Lahen, one of the Chachamim responded, Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, Lididim Farshin Lemina Dirab Yochanan. I have a tradition from Rabbi Yochanan, and he tells me about the position of Rabbi Chiya and why he prohibited it. And what he told me was, Mishal Chamosa Erva, Umishum Delo Zichsala. That Rabbi Chiya was concerned about the fact that in Erev Tchumen, you need to be mezakeh the Erev on behalf of the person who is going to rely on this Erev Tchumen, and she, the mother-in-law, failed to do so. Right? She wasn't mezakeh the Erev. She didn't acquire possession, or she didn't, shall we say, transfer possession to the daughter-in-law. Now, Rav said that in the case of Shitu Vavos, we don't need to be mezakeh. Our Mishnah says explicitly that you have to be mezakeh. So Rav is arguing against that Mishnah. He holds that Mishu meniach avuro as eruv oser olav l'taltol b'mavu is hu gomer b'daito lahachnos lo. So we see that Rav is of the opinion that the person for whom the person who is putting down the eruv on behalf of someone else, he can make a decision to be makna the Erev on his behalf. But again, it has to be one of the Bnei Amavu. You can't be someone from the street. Even Rav, who argues against that Mishnah and completely obviates, circumvents the need for being mezakeh the Erev to the other person, that's only because the person himself who is setting up the Erev needs the Erev. So he if he doesn't make an Erev, then all the other people in the Mavui will not be able to make an Erev. So since they depend upon him to make the Erev, he makes the decision to make the Erev. He doesn't need, according to Rav, to be Mezaka the Erev to the other Bnei Achotz. Amalei Rav Zera, the Rav Yaakov, Bra de Bas Yaakov. So Rav Zera turns to Rav Yaakov, and he says to him, Kimatis Hasam, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, Akif Vizil Lesulma de Tzur, I want you to go a very large distance for, on my behalf to a place called Sulma Tzur. Uboimine, and there you should ask and inquire about Rav Chiya. Why was it that he prohibited the daughter-in-law from going into the city? Uboimine, and in fact, Rabbi Yaakov asked this question, May Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, and Boimine, Mishal Chamosa Irva Mishum Delo Zichzalo, O Dilma Mishala Irva Mishum Delo Deshalo Midaita, Omer Le, Mishal Chamosa Irva La Mishum Delo Zichzalo. And that we saw before. Omer Rav Nachman Naktinon, we come to the final halachic conclusion to be Machmir, like both Rav and like Shmuel. Echod, So we're going to go lechumer against Rav in the case of Eret Chumim, and we're going to establish. I'm sorry. In the case of Shitu Mavos, I meant to say we're going to establish that we need to be mezaka, and we're going to go lechumer in the case of Shitu Mavos, like the Shita of Rav. Right, Rav was the one who said that in Shituf Muvos is Tzorech Lezakos. I'm sorry, I keep making the same mistake over and over again. Again, in Shituf Muvos, we're going to be Machmir like Shmuel against Rav, and we're going to require, in the case of Eret Chumen, we're going to be Machmir like Rav against Shmuel, because Rav is the one who says Tzorech Lezakos, and Shmuel is the one who holds Ein Tzorech Lezakos. So let me just read this note here. Halacha kerav, shei ruvei tchumen, Tzorech lezakos, halacha kishmuel, sheiruvei chatzeros, tzorech lezakos. The afsha amru liel, sha'osa michumer beit shamay michumer beis hillel, nemar olav, the posuk says in Koheles, vaksil vachoshech holech, ein zele b'shtei machlokos shenovos mi oso tam. That's only if by paskin like both beis hillel, beit shamay, these chumers and that chumers, you're involved in a self-contradiction. Avokan, but here shekol machlokes tluya betam bifnei atzma, a separate issue in and of itself. They're independent issues. Efsho lehachmir kishne, we could be machmir like both shitos. Now Tosus divar masko masa bekoloso says that ikar kushas hagmara haisal masha omar rab b'shitufei muvo shein tzorch lezakos and mefurish b'mishne shelo kerav. Aval Masha Omar Rav Sheruve Tchumin Tzorch Lezakos Lo Kasha Kolkach Shein Ze Mefurish B'Mishna Shein Tzorch Lezakos El She Mishna Lo Iskira She Tzorch Lahashkos She Tzorch Lizkos And Umikusha Zu Lo Tirtza Gemara Klum. The Meiri says that according to Rashi we should interpret the Gemara that it's coming to answer the question from Shituf Muvos, and that which the Gemara says Tanoihi, that's not to be interpreted like the Tanoihi in all of Shas, but rather it means Rav is a Tanahu, and Rav Tanahu Polik, he can argue against the Mishnah. And then the Gemara brings the din of Erev Tchumen, that there's Machlokas Tanoim, whether it needs Zechia or it doesn't need Zechia. And the Rashba says, in the name of Rashi, that the Gemara's answer was that Kishem Shebedin Eruve Tchumen Matzanu Bezeh Machlokas Tanoim Kaka Bedin Shituf Muvos Shom Mishnah Tzorch Lazakos Yesh Lomar Shenechleku Bezeh Tanoim, that there's also a similar Machlokas in the din of Shituf Muvos, whether Tzorch Lazakos or not. So it's Machlokas Tanoim. So we'll just make a note of where we got up to. We're here on Daf Pei Amud Aleph. And I would say we're about two-thirds down of Boi Rav Nachman. Okay then. So Moedim L'Simcha, and this is where we're going to stop for today.